This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
By the way, some of you were kind enough to notice yesterday, we have new chairs.
We do have new chairs.
Yeah, we got new chairs. Yeah, we're very comfortable in our new chairs. We like our new chairs. They spin. Right? You like them?
Is that it? Is that all you got? The talent show?
They lean back, too. We got a little lean back in the chair. So we got a little lean back. You like our chairs? You do like our chairs. And by the way, this gentleman right here, Chrissy, give him full credit. This gentleman right here put the chairs together.
Boom.
I mean, it is my house.
Yeah, it is.
It is my basement.
Yes, it is.
I mean, the chairs were delivered to my home. I mean, the least I could do is put those together.
Well, you know, yesterday, last week, under the weather, not feeling great.
I was not feeling great.
Yeah.
Still not great.
Put the chairs together. You did a great job. These are very good.
And they work.
Yeah, they're good.
So if you all of a sudden decide to give me a 180 over there and go head first and get a concussion, there's no lawsuit, right?
I don't know.
Just saying, in case you get a little frisky over there trying to show off your buck 80.
Or athleticism.
Thinking Mr. Stanley going vertical on me.
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Crowd clapping you for your...
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, I must admit, I'm a terrible handyman.
Yeah.
I am awful.
Makes two of us.
I am awful. In fact, Mrs. P is the one with all the utensils, screwdrivers, hammers, nails, and loves doing all that stuff, and I'm awful at it.
She's also in charge of... Mrs. P's also in charge of the yard and everything else, right?
Well, I will mow.
I know you help.
Mow and blow. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That is it. But Mrs. P truly is a handyman and likes to make fun of my shortcomings in that department. So when she saw me knocking out your chair this weekend, she said, "Can I help you?" I said, "No, I got this."
Yeah.
I got this.
Exactly.
So congrats. Glad it worked.
No, it's good.
If they fall apart, then we'll get Mrs. P down here to fix it.
Yeah, you've done a good job with this.
She's really good. She is outstanding in the handy woman department.
Trust her beyond
her
approach.
Terrible.
You missed the basketball last night. Duke a winner, 5 points over Florida State, 70-65. Trey Jones, 13 points, 6 assists.
Gutsy win for Duke last night.
Jordan Goldwire, career high 13.
Perfect.
Tidy's career high 13. Vernon Carey, a double-double. Trent Forrest had 18 points, 9 rebounds, 8 steals in the game. Most by a Florida State player in 10 years, by the way. So almost 10 years.
But shooting was a problem for the Noles last night, not to mention free throw shooting, 12 of 20, which is not very good.
Yeah.
But when you only make 6 of 33 shots from outside the paint and you're playing somebody as good as Duke on the road, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
And it was.
So Jordan Goldwire, here's 2 of his career high, tying 13 last night. And,
boy, if he gives Duke 13 a night now.
Yeah, it's going to be on.
That's big.
Yeah.
But Coach K loved that win last night. Coming off the emotion of Saturday.
Right.
Short turnaround for both teams. There's no excuse. Hey, you knew what the schedule was. You knew it was going to be tough. That game's tied up 11 or 12 minutes ago in the game. You had no idea who was going to win. Duke just kind of out-toughed Florida State, I thought, down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and played like a team with good leadership, which Trey Jones did last night again. And if that is going to be part of their DNA going forward every night, they're going to be hard to beat.
And the fact that Vernon Carey wasn't his normal self inside, he scored 10 last night. It was kind of quiet. I know he went double-double with 10 and 10. But given how dominant he has been here of late, and of course he fouled out in the North Carolina game, but I thought last night, for the most part, Florida State did a good job neutralizing him inside.
Right.
The problem was that I thought both teams looked a little tired, a little dead legged.
Yep.
Last night, it wasn't a crisply played game. I mean, Duke had 21 turnovers. And won the game.
Yeah. Well, and free throws, to be honest with you, Duke, they're playing good. I'm not taking anything away from the Blue Devils, but the free throw numbers in the last two games for Duke's opponents are horrific.
Yeah, you missed 25 free throws.
Yeah. Carolina and Florida State have only hit a combined 57% at the free throw line against Duke in the last two ball games.
Good defense, right?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
When you can get it right there. We got a big night, too, by the way. When you start thinking about where the ACC is, we've already talked about tonight is two games involving the four teams that are right behind the big three, Louisville, Duke, and Florida State. And
upper glob.
Upper glob and lower glob. We got Notre Dame at Virginia and NC State at Syracuse on the schedule as well. And there's the number we were speaking of a moment ago, 33 of 58. Carolina and Florida State at the free throw line in the two ball games against Duke.
And again, these are two games that Duke won, beat North Carolina by two, Florida State by five. And really the score last night at five wasn't really indicative of how tight that game was. That was a back and forth anybody's game with 4 minutes to go. So you play two opponents that combined to miss 25 free throws, and yep. you win two games by a grand total of 7 points. Doesn't take much to do the math, man. And you, even you, Wester, could do West Durham math and figure out that that is a big number.
By the way, here's the free throw inequities, if you will. Raekwon Evans missing one, missing two. And Florida State's not a bad free throw shooting team, Mark.
And Devin Vassell last night was kind of off.
Yep.
I thought. I mean, he has been fantastic and consistently good.
Yep.
And Florida State, again, has given you the ability. Again, they're fresh off a score, 99. Mm-hmm. Against Miami, but again, those two teams play really good defense. Both of them are deep. They'll throw waves of players upon you, but just not a very good shooting night. I didn't think really, to be honest with you, for either team.
By the way, not to tell you this was an outlier, the Noles went into last weekend hitting 78% at the free throw line in conference play. 78%.
12 of 20 last night. Gotta make them.
Yep. Gotta make them. Does it change your mind at all about Florida State? Doesn't change mine.
No, these are two teams that are good enough to win the ACC championship. These are two teams that are good enough to get to Atlanta. These are two teams that are good enough to win the national championship. And had Florida State won the game 70-65, I'd tell you the same exact thing this morning. The league has three elite teams.
Right.
Three big-time programs that are all good enough to win it all. The question's going to be, number one, what order do they finish in?
Sure.
How's it going to look for the ACC tournament in Greensboro? Because, you know, it's a big deal to be the one guy because you don't, you know, 2 and 3, if you do get chalk, you're going to have to see each other in the semis. Mm-hmm. If you can avoid having to go back-to-back to play them, those guys, man, sign up for it. So advantage Louisville as we sit here in the middle of February. And the other big question in the ACC is what you're going to see tonight in the four upper globs. And of those four teams with Virginia and Notre Dame and Syracuse and NC State, who of those four are going to play great in the last 4 weeks of the regular season and maybe knock off somebody of note who's got a number beside their name to kind of position themselves for the NCAA tournament? To me, those are the two big, giant questions for ACC hoops as we get ready for the next 4 weeks.
A couple of notes here about scheduling before we get to Barker Bite in our next segment. Two things stand out here about the remaining schedules. First of all, Louisville has 7 games left. Of the 7 games, they have 4 of those on the road. The home games are Syracuse, Carolina, and Virginia Tech. So Syracuse for sure.
Legit.
Their ability to shoot the ball.
Virginia Tech has really struggled in North Carolina. Again, they're a lower glob.
Right. And if they're going to trend, we're getting ready to find out tonight.
I mean, that's why that's the intriguing part of that game tonight in Winston-Salem. Right.
Agree.
Is that Wake Forest can give you spurts where they can score and look pretty good. And North Carolina is coming off, in my opinion, their best performance of the year.
Okay. Louisville has Georgia Tech coming up this week on Wednesday night.
And keep in mind, the Jackets played them tough at Louisville.
That's right.
That was a fist fight.
Yep. At Georgia Tech, at Clemson, okay, at Florida State, at Virginia. So that one game is not a lot.
They got some tests.
Yeah. I mean, at Florida State, at Virginia, you know, two of your last three sandwiched around a Virginia Tech home game is going to be interesting.
Yep.
You want to look at Duke here real quick, and that's the part I think is interesting with the Blue Devils. The win last night helps them because they have Notre Dame at home, Virginia Tech at home, NC State and Carolina at home. Road games are NC State at Wake, February 29th at Virginia. So in terms of road tests, if Virginia's continuing to be that fourth team we're talking about here, and we're going to find out more tonight, obviously, then the Virginia game on the road will be very interesting. Because, again, only meeting of the year.
Hey, somebody else is going to join the big three with the double bye. And if you don't think that's important, you're crazy.
Yep.
You're crazy. And so that's why those two games tonight, just keep an eye on both of them. The game at Syracuse, the game in Charlottesville. Very important.
By the way, Florida State, who went to 10-3 last night after their remaining schedule, road games are NC State, Clemson, and Notre Dame. Now, remember how good that Notre Dame game was at Tallahassee? Just keep that one in mind. Home games are Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Louisville, and Boston College at the end.
There's plenty of tests for everybody here. I mean, Louisville's the team to catch, no question. They've got a little buffer, no doubt, but it's not going to be a cakewalk.
We may do some prospecting Friday on this.
I mean, I don't expect Louisville to be 19-1 is what I'm trying to tell you. Right?
Yeah.
They got one L. I do not expect by the time we get to Greensboro that Louisville has a one in the L column.
Here's the question I have, and I'm going to lay Friday out before we get to Friday. What's the winning number in the loss column?
Well, I was top wrong seed? Because I thought there would be at least three or four.
Losses.
I thought
I'm still not convinced three's not the number.
That may be. But, you know, Louisville, could Louisville lose two more times based on that schedule you just gave us? Yeah, the answer is yes, they could. But I tell you, they're playing such good basketball, Wes. I think they can be had one more time.
All right. Before we get to Barker Bite, last night at the end of the game, one that everybody's talking about this morning, the cylinder call against Trent Forrest. And look, you can look at this a couple different ways. It's a bang-bang play. It's a play that's made on the floor, the angle is shown. Here's the knockout. Ball got thrown up at the horn, hit the rim. Hurt steps into Forrest, and Keith Kimble calls Trent Forrest for being in the cylinder. Now, the cylinder is, and the problem is, well, Matthew Hurt.
Problem is, it's a bad call.
Yeah, that's Matthew Hurt strides into Trent Forrest. And this is something a lot of people, because the cylinder call is a hard one to make, period. And it's one that is new to college basketball. So a lot of people, when it happened last night, the unfamiliarity with kind of how the cylinder works and everything else. And that's not how the cylinder works.
Sorry. It's just a bad call. It's okay. It's a bad call.
Yeah.
It was an important call at the time.
Right.
But there's no guarantee Florida State's going to go down and make a three. They hadn't made one all night. I mean, you're 3 of 18 and again, I'm not telling you this is what won or lost the game.
Right.
I thought Duke played better than Florida State down the stretch to win the game. I just didn't understand the call.
Yeah. So the cylinder call last night is the one that has caught a lot of people this morning.
And somebody said, well, you know, Matthew Hurt never touched
Trent Forrest.
Well, so that's what somebody said. And I was like, well, if that's the case, then he walked. I mean, whatever. Right. I mean, right.
It's one or the other.
I don't worry about – I really don't get too whacked out with officials' calls. I mean, it's a tough gig, man.
Yeah.
They're going to miss calls. Players are going to miss shots. Coaches are going to miss calls in terms of making the right decision on who – I mean, it's part of the gig.
Yep.
It's never perfect.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
What's the problem? You having the issues with me today. What's your problem?
Well, you said something coming to break, and I'm like going, what are you talking about?
Last night, I went to grab dinner for Mrs. Speaker. She wasn't feeling well, and she wanted some tomato bisque, and there's a place that we know that has great tomato bisque. And so being a good husband and a handyman, apparently, since I put these chairs together, I decided to go out and get Mrs. P her favorite soup because she's under the weather.
Right.
And so at this restaurant, this little hole in the wall, I ran into Hugh McCall. Legendary Hugh McCall.
Legendary
Hugh McCall School of Business.
Where you're speaking tomorrow at Queen's University.
Right. And I told him I'm speaking at his School of Business tomorrow. And so Hugh McCall is a true mover and shaker.
Yeah.
Big time. And just has done so many incredible things for so many different people. So I was just telling you that Hugh McCall, when he was running the show for Bank of America, had a grenade on his desk. Well, Marine.
Oh, okay.
And you looked at me like, again, Pack, I can't believe you eat cold pizza for breakfast.
No. A grenade on the desk.
I tell you, the guy had a grenade on his desk, and you thought I was speaking Chinese.
Like a live grenade?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Because you want to know.
I mean,
like to know if it's live. Man pulls a pin, you got to do some things.
McCall is sharp, man. He is a brilliant dude.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Done brilliant. Very well. Done very well.
You, he could buy us.
You invite him to the basement?
No, but he'd be, but let me tell you
he'd
something.
He'd be fascinating to have
Hugh
him here.
Hugh McCall would be a great guest to come hang out with.
Yes, he would. He'd be unbelievable. I envision that kind of being the off-season type. You know, we get some people with ties to the ACC.
We got the American flags up here, right?
Yeah, one form or another.
We are pro-military.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely.
All right. Bark or bite. I refuse to know what the topics are ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear them for the first time live on the air.
Okay.
So we go to the Lumberjacks.
All right. On the left, Josh Macri, graduate of Syracuse University, on the right.
And feeling good about tonight, by the way.
Feeling good about tonight.
Feel great.
And on the right, Andrew Brooks.
Sun Devil.
And
Phil Mickelson.
Alum of Emerson College. Yep. Who's fresh off his first round of 2020 this weekend. And we went sub-80 in New Orleans, correct?
79. Even par on the back. But I am not bragging.
And apparently going to be part of the Packer and Durham foursome to challenge Greenberg in the offseason.
Who knew?
Is that a challenge?
I don't know. Greenberg's talking about everybody getting together to play golf.
Needs to pay off his first bet before he loses his second bet.
Can you guys not envision that happening on our spring break trip?
No, I mean, I'm all down. Greenberg invited me once to play in a golf tournament where I carried him to second place.
That's right, where I carried him to second place. That's exactly, and that will be on this
show.
Not
that I'm bragging.
No, you're telling the truth. So, all right, bark or bite, Mr. Macri, you're at the wheel.
Thank you, sir. All right, after that instant classic on Saturday, bark or bite that the Tar Heels will win the rematch against Duke at the end of the regular season?
Bark.
Yeah, that's.
I'm going to immediately bark.
That's
on that.
A bark.
If you can't close the deal up double digits with 2 minutes to go, what makes you think, unless crazy stuff happens between now and then, that you're going to take it on the road to Cameron Indoor, senior night, all that great stuff? If there's any seniors left,
DeLaurier.
I would tell you that I'm going to go bark, bark, bark.
Justin Duke, Robinson.
Duke will be again. He'll be back, which would be great. But I like Duke's chances to go for the sweep at home.
No. Justin Robinson will have a senior night at Duke. Brandon Robinson, we hope, will be in the lineup for Carolina.
Yeah, I hope Robinson's back.
Yeah.
But I think North Carolina played well Saturday. That's the best I've seen him play all year, but I'm going to go bark on that.
I'm going bark until I see more of a body of work. How's that? I mean,
it's February.
It is February.
Well, how much more you need to see?
I mean, they need to win in Winston-Salem tonight. I mean, you want to see a win against Wake Forest.
It's not going to matter when they go to Cameron.
Bark. I'm going to go bark. There we go.
I know you're both biting, though, that the uniforms will look better next time they square off.
Word got out last night, by the way, among some of the gathered media at Cameron who asked the question of all questions, are we going to run the game out there in the practice jerseys again? And the answer is no. They're going to wear regular, classic Packer-influenced jerseys.
They should have had a deal. Those unis were so ugly. They should have had a deal that the loser of that game must continue to wear those jerseys.
Okay.
How about that?
There you go.
Next up, a friend of the show and someone we'll be speaking with in about 35 minutes, Wes Moore and his NC State Wolfpack will hand Louisville their third straight loss on Thursday. Ooh. By the way, you can catch that on ACC Network.
Wow.
Can Louisville lose three in a row?
Wow.
At NC State, crowd will be great. Wolfpack's playing lights out. Cardinals, you kind of wonder about where their confidence level is right now after your boys Syracuse went up there and shocked them. Q got them. They lose it home to Florida State. Man, I think this can be a great game.
I'm going bite.
Really?
I'm taking the pack.
At home, huh?
Yep. I think Reynolds Coliseum, Valvano Arena will be a handful on Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
You know what? Good things happen to good people and all that stuff. You know what? Reynolds Coliseum was nice to NC State Wrestling. Pack got pretty, you can get nice things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Just to play contrary with you,
yeah.
I will go bark.
Okay.
But I think it is a great game Thursday.
Oh, it's an unbelievable game. Mm-hmm. No question.
I like Coach Moore's face on 35.
Yeah, you know what? Wes will enjoy me saying that because he likes to downplay stuff.
He does, yeah.
So he will appreciate that one of us thinks that Louisville's coming in there with a chip on his shoulder.
Some will say sandbag. Some will say poor mouth.
But he's done a great job, and that is a really big-time game.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge
game. There you go. All right. There you go. Next up, Virginia finally crossed the 70-point plateau in their last game. Bark or bite that they'll score more than 70 again this season. Keep in mind their previous high had been 65 before they scored 73 the other day.
I'm going to go bark.
You don't think they'll smell 70 again?
No, I didn't think they were going to see 70, much less against Louisville. I hope they do, because when they do, they play great D. If they give you a 70 spot, they're in business. Even though they lost that game over the weekend, which was another tremendous game. I don't suspect that we will see that out of Virginia.
I'm going to say bite. They're going to run into one again.
Okay. I hope you're right.
I think the question I think the real question here is that you've got Walden Tensai and Kihei Clark putting up big numbers in the game. Somebody else, like a Braxton Key.
Well, Braxton Key, if you remember, against Clemson,
right,
was the dude that made the big shots from beyond the arc. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a good sign that it's not just a guy that's red hot. And
right.
Kihei, as you pointed out, has been able to step out beyond the three and make some shots on top of that. So there are signs of life.
I'm biting on that.
All right. I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
I'm biting.
By the way, EFG, for those wondering, is effective field goal percentage. What makes a field goal effective? I don't know.
Makes it. Yeah. Goes in the basket.
Yeah, it goes in the bucket.
How about Brooks throwing up the flipping the wrist
with the wrist
left hand indicates that that's what the effective field goal percentage is. Yeah, nice.
There you go. Preseason ACC baseball poll is out. Louisville tops it. Bark or bite that the Cardinals will actually follow through and win the ACC title this year.
I'm gonna bite on that. I'm buying Louisville. I'm gonna bite.
I'm barking only because there's so many other contenders in this. Dan McDonald's got a great team. They're one of the best teams in the country. But, I mean, anybody could win this thing in the top three or four on each side. I mean, this is how good this league's going to be. Spring is going to be sensational for baseball in the ACC. Mike Martin Jr. takes over in Tallahassee. Miami is getting some national love. This is going to be a really, really fun spring for ACC baseball. And the championship is here in Uptown Charlotte, by the way.
Great ballpark. Yep. I'm going to jump on the Louisville bandwagon and say they're the team to beat.
Okay.
I'm going for it.
All right. But they're a favorite, but anybody could win this in that either side, Atlantic or the Coastal Division. It'll be a fun spring.
I was a little surprised to see Clemson get a first place vote.
You know, they've got enough back to be a factor. Now, first place vote, again, I'm not sure how all that works, and I'm not sure who does the voting.
Well, it's simple. But there's some guy with a vote who said, I think Clemson's going to win the ACC baseball team.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Somehow Eric McLean got invited to vote on preseason baseball.
I mean, the Tigers would be good, but, I mean, Louisville, to me, is one of the two or three best teams in the country.
Why did Mac get thrown under the bus?
There's totally uncalled
for. McLean just got thrown under the bus.
Totally uncalled for by the Lumberjacks.
A personal foul on the Lumberjacks there.
All right, last one quickly here. Bark or bite that one of the ACC's top three teams, of course we're talking Duke, Louisville, Florida State, is in danger of getting a 4 seed or worse in the NCAA tournament.
Wrong answer.
No.
Not happening. Three will be the worst seed.
That's a bark.
Three will be the worst
of those three. Three will be the worst. I still think a one's in play, too. Yeah. You can't convince me that the Baylor-Kansas thing going down the stretch is just a lockup for two number ones.
Well, I mean, for example, if Louisville and or Duke win out, they're going to be a one.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, we're going to put Luke Hancock on the clock here in a minute, by the way. He just handed out those Netty Awards the other night on Sunday night, too, so we'll be able to talk to him about that. I think Baylor-Kansas take each other out at some point on this deal, but we'll see.
They're both two good teams, man.
Yeah, I watched Baylor, Texas last night. They were impressive. Bears are good.
Baylor is no joke.
Baylor is very good. Great defense. San Diego State, so is Gonzaga.
These are all good teams. Yep. We were loaded with a bunch of good teams. I do not think we have a great one in the mix, but the ACC can get a one seed. But I think of the big three, somebody's got to go on a remarkable run between now and Selection Sunday to do it.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We're now joined by the unverified one. I can relate. Luke Hancock joins us, looking dapper, by the way. Got the gray sweater, conservative, getting the job done.
Looking like a tea time. Look, there's a tea time available at some point this morning.
Like everything about it. All right, Luke, kind of a grinder last night. Duke, Florida State, both teams coming off a 48-hour notice. The Noles knocking off Miami, and, of course, the Duke-North Carolina game, which was crazy good. With about 10, 12 minutes ago, tie game, anything could happen. But Coach K obviously loves his kids, talked about that afterwards. But I think it was just a way they just kind of willed themselves to win that game. It wasn't necessarily a great game in terms of performance, guys making shots. You just had to tough and just grind your way to win that thing last night.
Absolutely. I was just about to say that. It was just the grittier team that won, and I'm surprised it wasn't Florida State. But for whatever reason, guys can't make free throws right now against Duke. You know, you hear it all the time, especially around the state of Kentucky, that Duke gets all the calls. Well, when the other teams are getting calls and getting to the free throw line, you get a 60%, 12 for 20 outing for Florida State last night. And then in the UNC game, I don't know what those guys were doing from the free throw line. What an incredible game on Saturday. And I know it's going to be heartbreaking for Carolina when they go back and watch that film. And it's just the littlest of things that could have won them that game, including free throws. But the game last night, you're right. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't as polished as the UNC game. But man, did those teams play hard. And I think you saw two of the most talented teams in the conference just battling it out. I thought after that, those two emotional games, Miami and Carolina, that Florida State would be so much more rested and ready to go for this game. They played, Hamm played 16 people in that Miami game. So you knew they were going to be fresh and ready to go. And you didn't see quite the same games outside of Trent Forrest that you've seen from some of the Florida State guards. They somewhat held Vernon Carey in check, and I thought those two things would be the X factors for Florida State to get it done.
Luke, I want to go to Trey Jones here only from this aspect. I think we've always thought he's one of the top defenders in the country. We knew he had a special season as a freshman, came back to Duke. But, and this is where I want to get you into the conversation about the leadership principle he brought to the table. Not just what he did Saturday night, because everybody's going to, they'll write books about Saturday night. But last night, for him to go be the leader, yeah, he can play well, but somebody's got to lead that team. And I think when he does that, they're a different basketball team. And I thought he showed that last night too.
Big time, big time. When you talk about a gritty game like that, you've got to have somebody that can pull the troops together, not only make you big plays down the stretch, but when you need a stop and you've got to huddle those guys up and figure out how you're going to get it done, or when you need a big basket and he's the one creating great opportunities for his guys, you can see why this is one of the best point guards in the entire country. It was fantastic to watch him go against Cole Anthony, and then and just as worthy a matchup in Trent Forrest. I think he's one of the best guards in the country. It's so much fun to watch him play. And you're right, the leadership aspect is so much more than what he puts on the stat sheet. He might have had 13 and I think 6 assists last night, but his impact was so much more than that. He's creating good shots for everybody else. He's poised. It really had a tournament vibe this game yesterday after all the emotion in UNC to turn around and on Monday play a top 10 matchup in Florida State. Those are the games that are going to prepare Duke to make a run when you get out of ACC play.
Look, I normally don't do this, but walk me through the call on Forrest at the end of the game, because I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. Again, it didn't have a I mean, I still, Duke's won the game, deserved to win the game. They outplayed Florida State down the stretch. But and not to isolate a single call. In fact, it's probably not a fair thing to do. But I'm just curious, as a former player, when you see that play, right, wrong, you tell me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the call either. I felt like Trent Forrest as a guard in there. He didn't seem to go over. He didn't seem to reach over. You know, they're battling for it, but he's standing there. He's not crowding him, and Matthew Hurt just tries to clear space. And it's what big guys do. You know, they're taught to chin the ball and swing through. And, you know, I've been on the wrong end of some of those elbows and caught some just like that. And that's part of the game. I don't think there was anything, you know, malicious about it, but I definitely disagree with the call. I thought it should have been Florida State's ball, and those type of calls usually have some kind of flagrant call with them. I don't think there's a whole lot to it. It's, you know, it's a basketball play, but I certainly would not have called that on Trent Forrest. You know, that's a senior and a freshman, and you're at Cameron Indoor. Like you said, I don't think it changes the result of the game, but it was a big play.
Interesting, too, because Florida State, and Pac said this, there's no, you know, no guarantee they go down the floor, hit a three.
Right.
The idea, though, that this game got as, and I'll use your word here, gritty as it did, kind of personifies the three teams we've been talking about most of the conference season, Duke, Louisville, and Florida State. Cards were big winners last night, Luke, and didn't play. I mean, because Duke gets the win and Florida State and Louisville beat Duke at Cameron, all those kind of all those little details. But now Chris Mack's got to try and gather his own team and deal with his team and not worry about Duke and Florida State until that next match comes up. I mean, so how does he handle all this going on around his club knowing it's, hey, now, guys, it's our 40 minutes. It's not that 40 minutes.
Yeah, as much as you want to circle that date in Tallahassee that you got to play Florida State, in this league you got to take it one game at a time. I know they've been on a tear lately. They just handled Virginia, which was a huge win, and the monkey off their back. But you have to take it one game at a time in this league. Louisville's not exempt from being one of those teams at the top that's a play away from losing a game they shouldn't. You know, when they were at Pittsburgh, they got a very fortunate over the back call on Terrell Brown that helped seal the deal in that game. They're a play away just like everybody else is. If I'm Chris Mack, as much as you want to circle that game against Florida State as the one you got to win that gives you your chance to win the ACC regular conference, you have to take it one game at a time. They'll have to step up on Wednesday and find a way to get it done. I'm still waiting on, I know you guys kind of had the blob in the middle of the ACC, but I'm still waiting on that next team or two teams to kind of step up and be at least part of the conversation with the big three. Virginia's starting to play better, and Louisville has to play them as well. When you look at the top three teams in the league, though, they have depth. They have toughness. You have contributions from guys you're not really expecting. The perfect example is Jordan Goldwire last night, 5 for 5. He's always been an incredible defender, but for him to have those offensive contributions in a huge game like that, I think is big time. And you're seeing that from Louisville with games from Ryan McMahon where he goes 7 for 10 off the bench, or Darius Perry where he's 5 for 5. And then the same thing with Florida State. You know, you have Wyatt Wilkes or Anthony Polite come off the bench and hit you 5 threes. That's what's making those top three teams so good and so tough to beat. You just got a little bit more from those guys in the Duke game last night.
All right, Luke, tonight to Upper Glob games tonight. All right, Notre Dame.
Upper Glob.
Upper Glob. We got Notre Dame at Virginia. We got NC State at Syracuse. Those are really the four teams that you kind of figure 4, 5, 6, and 7 right now in the conference. And, you know, can two of them get hot? Maybe somebody can knock off one of the big three coming down the stretch. But both of these games tonight, your gut instinct when I say Notre Dame, Virginia, especially as well as the Hoos played at Louisville over the weekend, which was a great, great game. But Notre Dame playing well, shooting well at Virginia tonight. What do you like?
I like Virginia. I'm with you. I think they're gonna look back at that Louisville game and they're gonna feel like they probably missed an opportunity. Again, if you tell me Virginia's gonna score 73 points against Louisville, I say they win. I know Notre Dame's shooting the ball well, but that defense travels for Virginia. And I think they're starting to play with a little more confidence. I've been saying it for the last couple weeks that I think Virginia is the team that's going to start to really pull away and be firmly in the tournament. I know you guys had Joe Lunardi on and have had some big basketball analysts, but I think Virginia at the end of the season, at the end of the ACC season, will be firmly in the tournament. I can't say the same for Notre Dame. I think that's a team that can certainly upset some people because of their ability to shoot the basketball. And they don't shy away from it. If they're missing shots, it's just waiting until one falls and they can get in rhythm. I thought that game against Clemson, They didn't play any defense at all. Clemson just missed shots, honestly, and they still found a way to get it done. So I think they got to pick up their defense and shoot the ball great to have a chance to beat Virginia. But the momentum's in Virginia's favor. Like I said, 73 points in a loss against Louisville. I would have said they win that game 9 times out of 10 if they score 73. I don't think they've lost in about a year scoring over 70 points. And don't get me wrong, it's not the same team as last year, but Tomas Woldetensai was incredible in that game. And if he can shoot the ball with any kind of consistency, Virginia is a much better basketball team.
Hey, Luke, one final thought here. Are you curious to see what Carolina does tonight, just from a basketball standpoint of a team that laid it all on the line Saturday night? I mean, is there any possibility they build any momentum off a heartbreaking loss?
You know, I think for basketball guys like us, that we just want to see them do a little bit better. And I keep saying after I see Roy Williams press conferences after games, I just want to give him a hug. I just want to tell him it's going to be all right. You know, these guys are just struggling. They've had a ton of bad luck. None worse than on Saturday, just missing that many free throws and playing such an incredible game. I don't think there's any case where Carolina makes a run to be like a tournament team or anything like that. Right. But yeah. The ACC is a heck of a lot more fun when they're playing well. I expect them to have some games where they look like the Carolina of old, and I think they did on Saturday night. Got out in transition. Their secondary break is phenomenal, and I think they have some pieces. It's just how do they put it all together towards the end of the year. I just want to see Carolina play a little bit better because I think it helps the conference. I think they get it done against Wake Forest, but I don't expect any you know, trailblazing. I don't expect them to go on some crazy tear and really surprise people or anything.
Luke, in 20 seconds, NC State, Syracuse.
Yeah, NC State's going to have to shoot the ball well. Buddy Boeheim and Elijah Hughes lead major conference basketball in three-point makes as a duo. NC State's going to have to play some defense, probably press, get in the zone a little bit, speed them up. But if they don't shoot the ball well, I don't think NC State can get it done. They're one of the glob teams I expected to pull away, and they just haven't done it yet. Right. Glob, not Luke. Glob, right?
Yeah. Glob. Glob. Glob with a G.
G is in great.
Packer gets all the credit for that, by the way. Next thing you know, it'll be trademarked. And we'll,
No.
We're going to have a graphic, maybe? No.
Well, I've stolen it a couple times. I won't lie.
No, you can keep stealing. Just make sure he gets credited. That's what you do. All right. Take care, my man. Have a great week. See you this weekend.
Thank you guys very much. Y'all take it easy. See you soon.
All right. Luke Hancock always joins us during the week. We appreciate that very much.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
I mean, thanks, Luke Hancock. Always enjoy his conversation and insight. Malik Williams of Louisville will join us come up in the Power Hour as well. And Wes Moore talking NC State women's hoops. They've got a monster game on Thursday with Louisville coming to Raleigh, and that is going to be some kind of scene Thursday night.
Yeah, it is. 8 o'clock right here on ACC Network. All right, so we showed you the standings earlier in the show, right?
Right.
And in those standings, you saw that Louisville, Duke, Florida State all have double-figure wins. They got 10 or more. Louisville 12, Duke 11, Florida State 10. Virginia, Syracuse was 7. Notre Dame, NC State, Pittsburgh, Boston College was 6. So thought what we do here is have a little exercise. We'll look at the remaining games for those 6 schools and do some projecting.
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm waiting on you.
All right, let's start with the Cavaliers, shall we? Because I think Virginia is the one that we feel like is the favorite to be the 4, right? Just based on the way they've been playing?
Yeah, I think they are the 4th best team in the ACC.
All right. So Notre Dame tonight would get them to 8 wins. At Carolina, you know, ugly it up on Saturday. They won the first one. We'll see what happens. BC at home, at Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech in a rematch, and then you see Duke at Miami Louisville. You like them winning 3 to get to double figures?
Yes, okay. I do.
You think and 3 gets them in?
I think that February 29th thing and that March 7th thing, those two teams, Duke and Louisville, with a number beside their name, it'd be nice to get one of those just to have in your back pocket.
So
both at home.
Right. Let's say that they take care of the other 6. That would get them to 13 wins in the league. Does that get them in?
I still think, you know, don't ask me why, but I still think Virginia's going to get in,
okay,
even if they don't get taken care of business here against Duke and Louisville. I think they're still going to get in back door from that perspective.
What about a slip somewhere else?
But you do not want to, a slip is a problem.
5-3 finish in the last
eight. You do not want to have a slip. You are not good enough for a slip. None of these teams that we're getting ready to talk about has proven with a slip or two that they're still in good shape. That is not a good thing.
All right. The Orange of Syracuse also have 8 games remaining, and here's their 8, including the upper glob game tonight with NC State.
Got to win this one tonight,
yep,
because the back-to-back at-ats with road, you know, Florida State, Louisville, good luck. I think they could get to double digits, but if I were a Syracuse fan, I would like one more big win on the road somewhere.
Okay.
Just saying.
By the way, that Pittsburgh game on the 26th could get interesting.
It's a fist fight, too.
And BC, Pittsburgh are right there. Remember, we're going to see their schedules here remaining, too. You like Syracuse getting to 10?
I think Syracuse will get to 10.
Is that enough?
I don't think. They better beat Florida State or Louisville.
Okay.
Told you. You're not listening to what I'm telling you?
I'm hearing you.
All right.
But if those 10 include Florida State or Louisville, you like it?
Yes.
Okay. Macri, you get a vote here, by the way. We'll let you have 5 seconds.
Yes, they get to 10. They do not get in. Two different questions.
If they get to 10 without a big-time W with Florida State or Louisville in there, I think they need to have a deep run in Greensboro.
I think that Syracuse is the first of these teams that the non-conference situation, the no pronounced victory in the non-conference is a real issue.
Yep.
NC State is next. Now, they have a win against Wisconsin, who blasted Ohio State this weekend, by the way. Now, I've heard the Wisconsin win. Well, let me tell you this. At Syracuse tonight, that'd be a good place to start. Kind of get the feel that tonight, now NC State's got 12 games too, so they've got 8 remaining. And you see their slate. Boy, the roadies are at BC Sunday night, 6 o'clock here on ACC Network, at Chapel Hill, at Duke Pack after the ball game tonight against the Orange on the road.
3 opportunities with ranked teams. Tonight's one of those kind of games you need to steal one on the road without a doubt. I think NC State's got work to do.
All right. So let's move from the Wolfpack. We'll go to the Irish. Notre Dame, who beat Clemson the other night on the road. They're at Virginia tonight, at Duke Saturday. Boy, Mike Bray drew the short straw at the league meeting there, didn't he?
Yeah, but you know what? You got to play people. So I think Notre Dame can get to 10, but I think I'm going to say this like a broken record. You know, the game's Saturday at Duke. Play hard.
Yep.
You get Florida State at home early March.
Yep.
Game that you better light it up and score. Again, I think all these teams have the same mission statement. You can't give games away. You got to steal one against a ranked team, and you got to finish strong, winning at least 6 of 8 down the stretch. I think they're all in the same. I think they're all literally in the same boat.
Notre Dame's best non-conference win, by the way, is UCLA, who beat Arizona the other night in Tucson.
Yeah, that's a lukewarm.
I just said that's their best one. All right, Pittsburgh is next. Panthers, you see the 6-7. These last two teams have played 13 games, so they've only got 7 left in the league. You see the road test, Blacksburg, Raleigh, Tallahassee, and Atlanta. Home game with Virginia, home game with Syracuse. You can do your glob work on your own there, too, can't you?
They got to win at least 6 of 7.
Okay.
I think. I think Pitt's got a ton of work to do at 6-7.
All right. Final one on the list. Overtime winners on Saturday. By the way, how about the 10 overtime games in league play? The road team's 9-1. At Miami on Wednesday night for Jim Christian's team. How about the glob game on Sunday night?
Got to win every game.
Got to win every one of them.
Every one of them.
All right.
And then you can't lose the first game in the ACC tournament.
Boy, you're really going, you know, you're going Packer brackets.
Well, they're
right
12
here
at West. They're 12-12. I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, it's a 500 team. It's sub-500 in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't look at these games and go, well, if they go 5-2, they got a great chance. No, they don't have a great chance at 5-2.
Gotta win out.
I just told you, they're going to win every game.
Every
just
game.
Just said it to
don't
you.
Don't lose on Wednesday in Greensboro.
You can't lose any of them. Gotta win them all. You can ill afford a loss.
I like this little exercise we just did. You okay with it?
Go win games, man. I keep telling you, you want in, just win.
Just win the games.
Just win.
All right. When we come back.
There's a thing called the glob.
Yeah.
Because you have not distinguished yourself like Florida State, like Louisville, and like Duke. That's why everybody's in the glob.
And tonight we're upper glob, two games.
Two upper globs and a lower glob.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.